All right. Well, last week, we looked at that common misunderstanding that pervades most churches where they believe the only person in the church with a job is a pastor. But that's not true. All of us have a job. My job is to teach the truth of God's word, and your job is to learn it and incorporate it in your daily life. I will tell you, my job to teach the truth of God's word is pointless without you guys. And your all's job without a pastor is much more difficult. So it's a teamwork. We work together to build each other up and to edify each other, and I appreciate you all being here for that. This week, though, I'm going to talk about an event that right now is only on the horizon, but it is rapidly approaching. Be here before we know it. But before I get into that, let us open with a word of prayer. Bow your head, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as always, we are just so thankful to be here in your house. We are thankful for our church family that has shown up to be with us and join with us in a time of worship and praise of you, Lord, in a time of studying your word. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, which gives us all the information that we need to know, things that we need to be aware of, things that are going on, Lord. You have given us hints and clues to all kinds of things. Lord, we thank you for the information you have shared with us that makes it easier to be a follower of you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you watch over this meeting, that it is conducted in a manner that brings honor and glory to you. And we ask all of this in your Son's precious name. Amen. All right, so there is an awful lot happening in the world today. There's no doubt about that, right? There is stuff happening everywhere that has significant importance to the Bible timeline. If you want to know what's happening anywhere in the world, though, technology helps us stay up with that. You can search anything on the internet and you can get some kind of update on something. So the world in a way seems a little smaller, but I'll tell you what, the world is racing toward the end. One of the bad things about the internet is that you can also find anything that you want when it comes to information, and it will fit your belief system. Instead of somebody out there just honestly telling the truth about what is going on, we have a bunch of podcasts, a bunch of talking heads on the news. They're all spinning the news to try to elicit a certain response out of you. So if you are out there trying to do something that is wrong, you'll have people saying it's right. And if you're watching somebody who's doing something wrong and you believe it's right, you can find a lot of people reinforcing that bad idea in your mind. We are just completely fractured. Everything is going wrong. Everything is going backwards from what it should be. We're experiencing rampant inflation. More and more people want free stuff. Have you noticed that? Everybody wants free stuff. They want to have stuff handed to them. It could be student loan forgiveness. Could be that. It could be universal pay, or it could be a reparation for something that happened over 150 years ago. They just want the government to hand money. We all got a little spoiled when the government started handing out COVID relief money and people realized how easy it was. There was a man, he said one time, that all republics will fail when people realize they can vote themselves funds out of the national treasury. I can't remember who said it, but if you look it up, I'm sure you'll find it. That's what Americans have discovered. We can vote ourselves money out of the national treasury. It's going to kill us. That's what it's going to do. If you don't know what universal pay is, this has been tested. They're experimenting with it now in several liberal cities. And that's where they give every person in the town like $2,000 a month for nothing. They just pay out money. It's called universal pay. They're pretty sure that that's what's going to fix everybody. If everybody just had more money, they'd be happier and the world would be a much better place. That's their theory. But the problem is they don't take into effect that we are designed to work. And our satisfaction doesn't come just from the paycheck. It comes from the sense of knowing we accomplished something. But that's what's going on. They're voting themselves money. Even those people who work are pushing, a lot of people are pushing, oh yeah, I need 20 bucks an hour. Well, get a better job. You can't have a $20 an hour pay or a $20 an hour job when you're only worth $2 an hour. There's a lot of people out there who are not worth more than $2 an hour working, demanding they get $20 an hour. You know, these type things are going to kill us. If you want 20 bucks If you want to have a minimum wage of $20 an hour, expect to pay a fortune for everything you have. Everything you have to buy. That cost of an employee is not taken by the company. It's passed on to end users. It always has been. It always will be. Do you think McDonald's is going to say, oh my goodness, we're not going to make $1 billion this quarter because we got to pay everybody $20 an hour? They're going to say, they're not going to say that. They're going to say, well, the price of a cheeseburger is now $27.50. That's what they're going to do. But this nonstop, we want for nothing. That's what it is. We just want and want and want. We want people to give us everything. We don't want to put any effort into it. That's a really bad sign that's going on. Everything costs more now than it did just a few years ago. It amazes me every time I go to the grocery store how many bags I get to carry out for that outrageous sum of money that they just took from me. You know, there was that joke about the younger generation of Americans getting stronger. It used to take two men to carry $100 worth of groceries. Now a five-year-old kid can do it. We're getting stronger. That's what it is. Our government is making it harder on Christians. They're making it hard to have Christian values. They're making it harder to speak out. The very fact I have said that could actually trigger a visit from the government, because you are not allowed to be political from a pulpit, believe it or not. Now, I'm not really political. I'm against all government interference. We have an election coming up. I don't care who wins. It's going to be disastrous. It's going to be disastrous. The reason is because we are fractured. Our country is split. We will never unite behind a winner. No matter who wins this election, half of the country is going to be mad. Half of the country, we saw what happened before. People looting, burning down cities in peaceful protest. Didn't really get that, but that's all right. But we're not going to be united. America is failing, and it's failing fast. And it's all because we are all self-centered. We no longer have a common cause that we live for, such as Christianity. We have reached a point in America where Christianity is no longer the majority of Americans. We are the largest group in America, but we fall in about 47% now. That's a long ways down from the 98.9% when this country was founded. Don't let the liberals fool you. This country was founded as a Christian country. It was based on religious freedom. The separation of church and state has absolutely nothing to do with laws, except the answer that Thomas Jefferson gave a Baptist church in New England was, "We will not establish a state religion." We will always maintain a separation between church and state because we believe people need to pick their own religion, and we're not going to force it on them. We have taken that. We have misunderstood it completely. People will actually tell you today it's in the Constitution. It's not in the Constitution. It's in a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote. It is not part of the law of the land. But we have made it into the law of the land by banning the Ten Commandments. By banning God in the public square, by banning prayer in schools. This is what we have done with a simple line that has been misinterpreted by a bunch of crybaby liberals. If you're a liberal, sorry. I'm sorry for you. I'm not sorry for what I said. This has to stop. It is killing our country. It really is. But this election, this problem that's going to be coming, this growing divide that is happening in our country is not the event that I'm talking about that is coming. I want you to imagine the following scenario. You get up one morning. You get up tomorrow morning. Let's just pick a day. We'll just say tomorrow. I'm not supposed to pick days, but you just get up. It's a normal day. Sun's shining. You get started on your day. You get your daily routine going, whatever that may be. You're thinking about your daily plans, you have phone calls to make, places to be, errands to run, all those type things. In the back of your mind, you might be worrying about a bill that's coming due or a house or car repair you have to do or something like that. Or you might have something today that you really don't want to do and you're kind of dreading to have to go to work and do it, whatever that might be. That's a typical day, right? So you get all ready, you go out, you get in your car. You no sooner join the clog of traffic that's on all the roads around here to where cars start having accidents. People start running off the road. People start crashing into each other. People start crashing into your car. You have no idea what's going on. You get out of your car and you find out those cars are empty. There's nobody in them. What happened? It's a bad thing. It's going to happen to people. Or let's just say you stay home. You're not even going to work that day. You have a day off, or maybe you stay home anyway, whatever. You are at home and you hear a neighbor scream. And you go outside to see what the neighbor's all upset about, and you find a lot of your neighbors are all upset. And they're all running around like chicken with their heads cut off, screaming, "Have you seen somebody? Do you know where this person is? I can't find my kids," or whatever is going on. You go back in the house, you turn on the news, you go, "What in the world is going on?" You find out it's just not your neighborhood, it's the whole world. It's complete chaos and confusion. That would be a bad thing. Because most people will probably understand what just happened. It's called the rapture. It's called the rapture. You don't want to be left behind. If you're here to see this type of stuff, you have been left behind. The rapture happened. God called his people home. He removed them from what was about to take place, and you're left behind. And you are here, and it's only going to get worse from that point. In less than 1 second, your life has changed, and it will never be the same again if you're left behind. Think of the terrible predicament you're in. You try to call somebody. You think, "Oh, I know what I can do. I'll call Bobby. He'll tell me if it was the rapture." Well, Bobby's not answering the phone. Bobby's gone. Everybody you can think of that might be able to explain to you what just happened is probably gone. You're going to be running around lost now at this point. You're not going to know what to do. That day will be one of great sorrow. And it's not because people are upset because they missed the rapture. It's going to be because a lot of people are missing, and many others are dead because people went missing. Take a moment to think to the chaos that's going to happen on that day when cars are crashing into cars. Think about that. Think about being on the interstate when the truck driver disappears out of the cab of his truck. And that truck's just careening down the interstate 75 miles an hour, just running over cars everywhere. It's going to be bad. There are going to be people in cars that get hit. They're going to die. There's going to be airplanes that are actually just going to fall from the sky because the pilots are gone. There's going to be so much chaos on that plane, they probably won't even think to check the cockpit until the plane's in a nosedive. Trains are going to crash. Now, that seems strange because trains are on a track. Now, they derail from time to time, but the rapture, is that going to make a train derail? No, it's not. But trains have a thing built into them. It's called a dead man switch. A lot of times it's something either the engineer has to squeeze or it's something he has to keep pressure on with his foot. If he dies and falls off his chair, that dead man switch engages and it slows the train to a stop. That way the trains just don't go barreling through cities with no engineer. Well, that's great. If you're on the train the engineer disappeared from, that's a great idea. But if you're on the train behind it, where the engineer did not disappear, he's going to barrel right into the back of it. Ships are going to crash. They're going to crash into each other. They're going to crash in the docks. Things are going to go crazy. There's not a single mode of transportation that will not be affected by this. And that's just the beginning. That just is what happens just at the rapture. All this stuff is going to start happening. Then you have the people who keep our world running. What's going to happen when they're missing? Let's just take a simple example of the Hoover Dam. Hoover Dam, some guy's at work and his job is to maintain water level. He opens the gate, he disappears. Gates are open. What's going to happen to the valley down below? It's going to let out way too much water because they don't open the gate to the level they want. They open the gate till the water drops to the level they want, then they shut them. Now, there's other people who may be left behind who could shut the gate. But guess what they're not worried about? They're not worried about the gate because they were at home and their family members came up missing and they were involved in car accidents and plane accidents and everything else happened under the sun. They're not thinking about going to work to check the water level of the Hoover Dam. Or suppose the gate's shut and you get too much water in Hoover Dam before somebody thinks to go try to straighten it out. Dam could collapse. Major flooding. Could be worse. Could be a nuclear power plant. The technician whose job it is to make sure the core stays cool dies. You think somebody's going to run up there and make sure the core's staying cool? Nope, they're going to have the same problem everybody else does. Even if they wanted to get there, they probably can't because the road's going to be clogged. So in the immediate aftermath of the rapture, there's going to be chaos because people have disappeared. There's going to be more death because people are killed because people have disappeared. And then in the ensuing days, there's going to be a whole lot more happen because people who kept us running are missing. That's just part of the problem of being left behind. If you get left behind, this is what you're going to be facing. I want you to understand that. There's going to be chaos everywhere you go. There's a lot that will happen after this. The rapture's going to happen. If you are left behind, I'm going to tell you, beyond all that that's going on, what you're going to hear, what you're going to find is the world's population is going to be screaming for a leader to fix the chaos. And there's going to be a person step up. There's going to be this man step up, and he is going to broker peace. Because that's what everybody's going to need. They're going to need peace. You think about it. I've told you all before, grocery stores are designed to only hold 3 days worth of food. That way the food is always fresh. That's why you see all those people in the aisle, usually in your way, right? Called fronting the shelves. They're pulling everything from the back to the front. When they stock a shelf, they put all the new stuff behind. That way it's constantly rotating. Nothing goes bad. But it's only 3 days worth. Well, with the highways being shut down, how many groceries are getting through? If there's even enough workers to even load a truck anymore, because you don't know where these pockets of people are going to come up missing from. How long do you think it'll be before people realize there's a limited source of supply? And what do you think they're going to do once they find that out? They're going to start looting, and they're going to start trying to take what is even yours from your house. That's what you have to look forward to if you miss the rapture. This leader will step up and he'll say, I can fix all this. And he'll broker a peace deal. And he will sign a peace treaty with Israel. And that peace treaty starts a 7-year clock ticking. And that 7-year clock in the Bible is called the tribulation. It doesn't start till then. Tribulation does not start with the rapture. It starts with the signing of that treaty. This man comes... what looks like peace. And that's what we're going to look at. If you turn to Revelation 6, it's verse 1. It says, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now this is the Antichrist. This is actually the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, depending on when the rapture is, could possibly be walking this earth today. We may even know his name right now. We just do not know he is the Antichrist. But his spirit comes out here that takes over. And this spirit on this white horse, when he goes out, and by the way, I want you to understand, come and see is an improper translation. The living creature is not talking to John. He's not telling John, come here and see this. I want you to see this. Come here. Watch this. I'm going to break this. This is going to happen. It's not what he's doing. The proper translation is come. The living creature gives the command to the horseman to come. It's because it's all in God's timetable. God's in control. This is where Jesus broke the first seal. That's what was in the first seal is this horseman. He comes in, he steps up, he starts talking about peace. People back him. They think they are gaining peace. What they are doing is they are giving up all their personal freedom. They're willing to compromise for this peace, and they give up everything. This man doesn't come to power brokering peace. He comes to power stealing power. And he's going to start using this power. He's going to start using it in a bad way. If you look at the second seal, starts in 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." I'm going to leave the INC off. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one, page is stuck, who sat on it to take peace from the earth, that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This guy comes out brokering peace. This spirit comes out getting people to kill each other. This spirit takes that peace away. So if you're left behind, and you're going through all that chaos and all that trouble, and then you vote this man into power, understand, giving up everything for the peace he promises is stupid because it's short-lived. Even if he could accomplish the peace, he doesn't get to keep it because the second horseman comes out and destroys it. All part of what God has in mind. Verse 5 says, then he opened a third seal. I heard the third living creature say, "Come." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." This horseman, he wreaks havoc on commerce, on the economy. That's what he goes after. He goes straight after the economy. Goods will be in short supply, and inflation will abound. That's what's going to happen in this situation. The inflation we're experiencing today is nothing compared to the inflation of the day that's coming. Just so you know, a denarius is a day's wage. So if you take $10 as an average wage, this means that people were able to buy a quart of wheat for $80. Or as the NIV puts it, that'll be about 2 pounds. 2 pounds of wheat will cost you a day's wages, $80. A normal worker's wages, $80. You think bread's expensive now? Wait till you start with that one. Then you have the fourth seal in verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. Now, not counting all those that were killed in this whole process, I just put together some simple numbers. Bobby and I have talked about this before. The population of the world is roughly 8,500,000,000. It changes so fast you can never write that number down. The rapture, I'm going to take a guess, and it's only a guess, 40%. I think that's stretching it. I really don't think 40% of the world's population will disappear in a rapture. I don't care what they write on their census reports. Their behavior tells us different. But if it was 40%, that's 3,214,000,000 people disappear. That leaves us with 4.8 billion people. This fourth horseman kills 1.2 billion of them, leaving us with 3.6 billion. I want you to put that in perspective here. Think about this. One out of every four people die. Who buries them? Who buries every fourth person? Think of what's going to happen. People are going to die and they're not going to be buried. And you're going to wind up with all kinds of disease once that starts happening. Black Plague was a little brief glimpse of what that might be like. They just stacked the bodies like cordwood out in the street. I know that right now there are excavators in this county who have signed a paper with Homeland Security saying they will dig mass graves and bury people. I know it for a fact. Government's preparing. They might not be preparing for this part of the rapture because they probably don't have anything to do with the Bible. But they are trying to prepare for something that might wipe out a lot of people. This is what you're going to face if you're left behind. If you make 3 new friends after the rapture, one of them is going to die. Might be you. Could be them. That's kind of how that works. One out of every 4 people. And that's the first time this happens. This happens again. We're not even getting that far. We're going to stick with the horsemen. We're not going into the whole book of Revelation. I will tell you, it only gets worse. If that doesn't scare you enough, it only gets worse. The first 3.5 years, that is a time of Jesus' warnings. Jesus is giving his last warnings to the earth. You need to repent. You need to get your life right. Because the good news is you can still be saved after the rapture. But it's going to be a whole lot harder. First off, your life's going to be pretty preoccupied with just trying to survive. Finding people who can explain to you what is going on, not going to be so easy. It's not like there's going to be a church on every corner that's open every Sunday anymore. Those people are gone. They're no longer here. How are you going to figure it out? This is why it's important. If you have people in your family who may not be making the rapture, they need to understand what's going to happen to them. They need to understand the outcome of not choosing Jesus while they have this chance. They'll still have a chance. It's just going to be a limited chance. So you may be thinking, the pastor doesn't know what he's talking about because the word rapture is not in the Bible. And that's a typical argument you'll get if you talk to somebody about the Bible or about the rapture. They're going to say, but the word is not in there. You know what? Neither is Trinity. There's several words that we use that are not in there. But I will tell you what is in there. In the Latin Bible, there is a word called rapturo, which is based on the Greek word harpazo. Both of these words being to snatch away. Rapturo is where we get rapture, because that's how it got translated to us. But if you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 15, it says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Now there's a lot in this passage. I'm just going to hit a few highlights. Verse 17 is where you would find the Latin or the Greek word that I just mentioned. It's in verse 17. We have it as being caught up. The New King James says caught up. The King James says caught up too. We will be caught up, snatched away, or raptured in that twinkling of an eye that I explained this morning is 11/100 of a second. The rapture could happen 9 times in a second. Break that down for you. That's how quick people are going to disappear. It could happen 9 times in 1 second. Make no mistake about this. The rapture is what is next in the prophetic calendar. Everything else that had to be achieved, according to prophecy in the Bible, before the rapture could take place, has taken place. We're not waiting for anything else to happen but the rapture at this point. There are some other things that may happen along the way, but on the prophetic calendar, this is the next event. We need to be prepared for this. For those who are left behind, it's going to be terrible, to put it mildly. But you know what? Nobody has to be left behind. Throughout history, God has always left a remnant. There's always been a remnant. God has never completely wiped out the nation of Israel, even though they have made him mad, even though they have disobeyed and they required judgment. He's always left a remnant. Every time Israel was captured, God left some behind to rebuild the nation later, at a later on point. It continued until the 10 tribes were captured by the Assyrians. They had reached their fullness of sin, and they were scattered to the wind. We now know them as the 10 lost tribes. The world reached fullness of sin once before. And God saved a remnant. He saved Noah and his wife and their 3 children and their wives. And he killed everybody else. The rest of the world was destroyed. Rainbow is a promise that the world will never be destroyed by a flood again. It's going to be destroyed by fire, but it'll never be by a flood. That's what the rainbow means, regardless of what liberals tell you it means. It means a promise from God. Sodom and Gomorrah, they reached their fullness of sin. Lot and his family was removed. They didn't have to go through it. This is a repetitive theme in the Bible. You will see where God removes his people at a time of judgment. Christians will be removed at a time of judgment. It says we are caught up into the air with him to meet Jesus. That means this is not the second coming of Jesus Christ, because he doesn't come to earth. He does eventually. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, he'll set foot on earth again. But we rise to meet him in the air. And the other thing I want you to understand, the word asleep does not mean that those who have died before us are laying in their grave taking a nap. The Bible is absolutely clear. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Period. The thief went to paradise with Jesus the day he died. He calls it asleep because they've earned their rest. They're no longer struggling with the things of this world. They have reached that rest that has been promised. But they are not asleep. It's just a way to describe what is going on. I want you to understand those things. Bible says that there's no reason for us to be left behind. And John 3:16 is the clearest indicator of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Notice there's no caveat in there. It's not whosoever that I have chosen to believe believes in me. That's not in there. It's whosoever. Everybody's welcome. Nobody's blocked. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Does it get any clearer than that? I don't know how to really make it much clearer. He is long-suffering because he wants as many people to be saved as possible. He could have called the rapture anytime he wanted to. It's his timeline, it's his world, it's his creation. We belong to him anyway, whether we've given into that that ownership or not. He could have done it whenever he wants. He is long-suffering. He is waiting for people to still get saved. As much as I would love to see the rapture happen, I also understand there will be people left behind who will never get saved after that moment. It's going to happen to them. This whole thing ends if you are left behind and you actually are able to survive the tribulation and still not give your life to Jesus. If you still stand against him, I can tell you how it ends for you. Jesus comes back to earth and he kills you. He speaks the word. That's all he does. He speaks a word and the armies of the earth die. Every person who has not chosen him dies. The only people who make it out of the tribulation are those who got saved after the rapture. That's all. And we're not killed. Because getting saved during the tribulation kills you also. They will kill you for that. That's what's going to happen. This is a bad time. If you are not sure that you will be taken in the rapture, you need to get that right while you still have a chance. You don't want to be here for that. You don't want to say, well, let's just see if Pastor Pat told me the truth. I'll wait for the rapture, and if the rapture happens, then I'll get saved. Well, you could do that, but that would be extremely stupid. Because you just put yourself in harm's way. You put yourself into a society that will cheer your death when they cut your head off. And they will, for being a believer. You either recant your belief system and worship the Antichrist, or they kill you. So think of that. That's what's coming. You need to ask Jesus to save you, and that means to repent and ask him into your heart. It has to be today. Don't wait until you've been left behind, because the rapture is what's next. things you can take away. The day of the rapture will be a terrible time of sorrow and chaos. Make no mistake, the rapture is what's next in the prophetic calendar. The only good news is that a person left behind can find salvation, even though it will not be easy. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, for your explanation of how things are going to work here as you bring this church age to a close, Lord. We know there's going to be a time of great sorrow, a time of tribulation. Things are going to change. Lord, help us to be courageous enough to invite as many people into your family as possible. We don't want anybody to be left behind at all. Nobody. We don't want anybody to taste death without knowing you as our personal Lord and Savior. Give us courage, give us strength, give us wisdom, Lord. Give us everything we need to be the light that you ask us to be to this lost and dying world. Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you as our personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Have them come forward. Convict them to the point where they come forward to get it right. And we ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.